This recording deals with the care of the dying, especially with the human and ethical challenges. The medical challenges in palliative care I will deal with only briefly. I start with some key data from Norwegian statistics. Almost 70% of those who die are over 75 years old, and barely 5% are under 45 years. About 76% of those who die do not die of cancer. The reason I stress these figures is that discussions about the care of the dying usually deal with young people who die of cancer. In this group, the palliation of pain is often very difficult, but this group is small. For the great majority, the medical challenges are not so difficult, and it is usually possible to reach the four goals of the care of the dying. And here I show you these four goals. I stress this point because patients, relatives, and health personnel can and should have confidence in the care of the dying. It's possible to reach these goals. When we follow a patient with serious chronic disease on the road to death, there are two decisive points in time. The first is when there no longer is a realistic hope of improvement and a good life, which means that active treatment to prolong life has lost its meaning. You only prolong death, but not life, we say. This is the first ethical challenge, because it is hard to accept that. Often the doctor does not have the courage to tell the truth, or the patient and the relatives insist on further active treatment. This point usually comes days to a few weeks before death. After still some time, it becomes obvious that the death process has started, and we then concentrate on the care and palliation. There are no objective criteria for these two points in time, but experienced health personnel can see that the time has come. It is very important that there is agreement and a common understanding among the four in the square: patient, relatives, nurses, and doctor. The only means is open and honest talk. It may be difficult, and there are of course strong emotions, but there must be agreement in the square, because conflicts here destroy everything. If there is doubt, give some time and try again. The health personnel, and especially the doctors, must have the courage to engage in these talks before it has become too late. Nutrition and fluids are of course important, but there comes a time when the patient no longer wants to have anything and feels no hunger or thirst. Sometimes the end may last for weeks. The patient gets emaciated and relatives and nurses despair. Previously we often used a nasal tube and or intravenous fluids, but there is now a common agreement that it does no good for the patient. That is true also for the PEG tube. The palliative care is decisive, and the goal is to relieve all suffering, pain, fear, unrest, difficult respiration, nausea, dry mouth, and rattling. We have reliable means against all of it. And it is important that the doctor and the nurse cooperate actively. The nursing care is very important. The patient shall rest comfortably, be turned often enough to avoid pressure sores, have his mouth cleaned frequently, and urine and feces must be watched. The palliative care should relieve all symptoms, but not be overdone. Many elderly patients have few symptoms, but shall of course have enough morphine to overcome pain. We talk about the double effect of morphine, because high doses of morphine overcome pain, but also shorten life. This is not seen as active euthanasia, which is to kill the patient with deliberately high doses of morphine. Active euthanasia is the second ethical challenge, and it is forbidden in Norway. The goal of the care of the dying is to relieve all suffering and thus to eliminate the need for active euthanasia. The human care is important. The patient shall never be left alone. He shall have health personnel at his bedside, people he knows and trusts. The goal is to provide safety, comfort and peace. "No, I can't do more for you than to sit here and hold your hand," I said to a patient who was my own mother. She answered with her last little smile, "That is not a little thing, I tell you." The care of the dying is almost more important for the relatives than for the patient, because they shall live with the memories of what happened. Talk to them, explain what happens, what you do, and why you do it. Let them take an active part in the care and offer them a bed beside the patient. Care for them, but with respect. The spiritual care is often very important and should always offer to get a priest, but sometimes the patient or the relative prefer to talk with the health personnel about personal matters, and the personnel should agree to that. After the death, preferably the next day, two talks are important. One is with the relatives, who often have questions they want to talk about. The other is the personnel, a debriefing to discuss two questions. Did we succeed? Was there anything to learn? Finally, I want to say that the care of the dying is one of the greatest of all our challenges, but it is a source of deep satisfaction when we succeed in a good way.